Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 13th to the 15th, 2016 at the Doubletree Inn in Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming in New England at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner pod. Nah, gotcha, didn't I? No, Wargaming Recon is the only member of the TSR podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 165, 10 years of Wargaming Recon. That's right. So for all of you longtime and new listeners alike, I hope you will enjoy this different, but I think interesting episode of Wargaming Recon. Instead of telling you something new, having a guest on, or having a new theme, like the last episode we happened to talk about, we talked about all sorts of stuff, didn't we, actually? But we've recently talked about Pokemon Go, and we've talked about video games, and last episode was some tips for hiring a miniatures painter. So we did all that kind of stuff, but this episode is different, and it's special to me in a different kind of way, because, well, let me dive into the story, actually. The whole purpose of this episode is to kind of look back. It's a retrospective, I guess you could say. Looking back at the history of this podcast, what is now known as Wargaming Recon. And this episode, the idea kind of percolated as a result of some conversations I had with Neil Shook of Meeples and Miniatures, which is amazing podcast. If you've never listened to it, I strongly suggest that you do. It's based in the UK. Neil does a fantastic job of interviewing guests and keeping abreast of all the new and the current games and things that are happening in historical and tabletop wargaming. He's the go-to guy for all of that. So Neil happened to be talking about some things on both his Twitter account and on his Meeples and Miniatures Facebook group. And he said that he was looking for some help because he wanted to see if anyone knew names of podcasts that had been around at least 9 years or longer than 9 years. I think that may have been his exact phrasing. So he and I were talking, and I gave him some names, and I said, oh, you know, this podcast and that podcast, and, you know, here are some other ones, and look in and see them. I don't know how long, but, you know, look into all that. And then on Twitter, one of his Twitter followers goes by the Twitter handle at LJ_Bodkin, replied saying, quote, I believe that Wargaming Recon, hosted by Jonathan Reinhardt, has been podcasting since 2006, unquote. LJ_Bodkin, or LJ Bodkin, I guess I could say, you are correct. I can tell everyone, in case you've never listened to it, and I wouldn't blame you if you hadn't, because it's a long time ago. The very first episode of Wargaming Recon came out on August 17, 2006, and I can't believe it has been this long. That episode, I'll have a link to it in the show notes. And as all of you might know, if you listened to the episode before, not this episode, but the show, you listened to the show before, you'll know that I like to announce the link to the show notes near the beginning of an episode. And I kind of buried it this time because I just wanted to tell you why we're looking at 10 years of Wargaming Recon. So the link, and I suggest that you do remember this link to the show notes. I know a lot of you like to listen while you paint, while you're commuting, you're at the gym, you're doing gardening. I remember one listener contacted me to say that he loved to listen to the show while he was raking leaves. So I know you do a lot of other things while you listen to podcasts. I do as well. I like to listen while I'm at work, and so I'm doing all my work and all that kind of stuff. And I can't be like, oh, I got to remember this and that manufacturer. No, here's this tip. I understand, right? That's not how people listen to podcasts. You listen while you're on the go. So the thing you need to remember, the one thing you need to remember is the link to the show notes, because the show notes happen to have all the information that I'll cover in this episode. It'll have links to other things and podcasts and all sorts of stuff. So anything that is worth knowing will be in the show notes. And you're going to want to make sure that you remember this. So the link is wargamingrecon.com/WR165. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR165. So as I was saying, the very first episode I ever released was released on August 17th, 2006. And that episode, I reviewed some Lord of the Rings miniatures that Games Workshop had put out. And then I also kind of talked about, and I guess you could call that as a light review. I'm not going to even use the word review in regards to this, but kind of like a light sort of just overview or discussion about the GW Webway and the Black Gobble newsletters. And both of those are now defunct, but they were really cool because the Black Gobble one would be sent to you in the mail. Sometimes it would come in boxes of things that you bought. If you bought a starter set for 40K or Warhammer Fantasy, you might get it in there. Or if you ordered anything via the mail order for Games Workshop, you could get one of these sent to you. And it would have little things that were on sale that you could only get, you know, exclusive mail order things. And it would also have, say, little conversion things, projects and stuff like that, tips and bits and things and that sort of stuff. And the GW Webway was the next incarnation where they took Black Gobble in essence and tried to think what to do with an online newsletter for people who would be interested in the Games Workshop products. Predominantly 40K and at that time Warhammer Fantasy. They also covered what we now know as specialist games, things like Necromunda and Epic and Gorkamorka and what else? Battlefleet Gothic, I think I said. Mordheim, you name it, all of those that fit into that specialist games category nowadays, Blood Bowl and so forth. They would cover all of that in there, plus all the other usual things. And as they expanded, they started covering Lord of the Rings and all these other properties and games that they've done, board games and you name it, they would put it in there. And it was one of the first incarnations that you could really get. So in this episode, I talk about that. And then 2013 rolled around and I was like, well, you know, nobody goes back and listens to every podcast episode, right? I listen to a lot more podcasts than I used to. And way back, I used to listen to tons of podcasts. And back when I started, there weren't a whole lot of other podcasts starting doing this sort of stuff. In any podcasts that were there, you might listen to some, but you might kind of ebb and flow, listen to some and miss a few episodes. And that was, you didn't worry about it. And nowadays, if you listen to a show like This Week in Tech, for those of you who are interested in computers and technology and that sort of stuff, Leo Laporte has so many episodes out there. It's almost impossible to even obtain those earliest episodes. Or if you listen to Father Roderick, who I love and adore, he's an amazing priest over in the Netherlands who loves gaming and Star Wars and geekdom and all that kind of stuff. He has a bunch of shows, The Break, The Walk, and so forth. It's almost impossible to listen to all of his shows because there are so many of them. So I thought, well, no one's going to be able to go back and listen to this old show. And even if they do, it's probably not going to sound great because in those early days, I tell you, I was learning a lot, or rather I had a lot to learn. So I re-released it in 2013. I had better editing. I did a new intro, had a running time for about 20 minutes and change. Far cry from nowadays, right? Where episodes, and I've shortened them, but episodes are like 45 minutes to an hour. If there's a guest, say like a Henry Hyde, for example, you're looking for a 2 or 3 hour show right there. And that's okay. So in talking with Neil, and I was like, yeah, that's right. You know, I did release that episode, my first one in 2006. And I actually think I had other episodes that were prior to that, but I can't find them. I can't find any proof for them, but I have memories and memories are, you know, tricky things. So who knows? But the proof is that's the first episode. And so he and I were talking and he happened to, tell me, you know, that means you've been doing it for 10 years. And I was like, what? 10 years? No, it doesn't feel like 10 years. But he's right. It's 10 years, August 17th, 2006 as a start date for the show. And it had a different name then. It was called like the CWF Game Discussion, the CWF Game Cast, and just really odd names. And I wasn't so good at creating the names back then, but it's the same show, same topic, same me. It's not like it's a different show entirely. It's the same exact show. And so in talking with Neil, and I realized I've been doing this 10 years, I should do a special anniversary issue of the show and just kind of look back at that 10-year time frame to see what some of the cool things are, things that are some of my highlights, things that are some of the highlights of listeners like you, and share those with everyone. Maybe share some stories that maybe you haven't heard about before and kind of put all of that in. And in addition to talking with Neil, he happened to say something that really surprised me. And I want to go out first and say what I'm about to announce. This is that secret announcement I said I was going to make. What I'm about to announce, to my knowledge, it's true. But if anyone happens to know that it's not, please let me know and I will make the necessary changes. But, and that's a big but, right? I want to emphasize that. A huge caveat that as far as we know, it's true. Can't be proven otherwise. But according to Neil, Neil Shook, as I said, of Meeples and Managers, he digged around and tried to see what other shows were as long running as Wargaming Recon is. And he specifically looked at tabletop wargaming. And he happened to tell me that, according to his research, and he looked back through the feeds and all that kind of stuff to validate things, that the three longest tabletop wargaming podcasts, in no specific order, are The Drop Podcast, which is a 40K podcast. I remember listening to that in my younger years. Meeples and Miniatures, and Wargaming Recon. And then he happened to tell me that, according to his research, Wargaming Recon is the longest running tabletop wargaming podcast on the planet. It, as you might guess, I'm excited, but I'm shocked because, like, wow. I've always said I'm just a guy, right? And I'm just sitting here, I'm talking into a mic in the hope that someone's listening and that sometime one of you will respond, send me some feedback and let me know that I'm not alone here. And you've done that over the years. And I can't believe that, first of all, it's been 10 years. It does not feel like 10 years at all. I look back at the episode guides, at topics and guests that have been on, I feel like, oh yeah, they were just on the other day. It was just not that long ago, really, right? And then I look and I say, wait a sec, that was like 3 years ago. That was 5 years ago. What? And it amazes me that this time has gone by so quickly. And then the second part is I'm just truly humbled and surprised that, as far as we know, Wargaming Recon is the longest running tabletop wargaming podcast on the planet. And I'm laughing because, like, really? Me? What? This show, it doesn't seem like it should be holding any sort of records. And not to denigrate the show and those of you who listen, it's just, you gotta understand, when I set out to do Wargaming Recon, or what is now known as Wargaming Recon, I thought, wouldn't it be cool to do this? And I had to do it for a workshop for work, but then I thought, it'd be neat, I can talk about it, maybe my friends might listen to it. That'd be neat. If like 10 people listen to the show, that would be awesome. And I could do that, and I never had visions at the time of, I'm going to do it for so long, and I'm going to do it for, I didn't even think I'd do it for like 5 years, never mind 10 years, and never mind being apparently the longest running tabletop wargaming podcast on the planet Earth. That's just, it's weird, is really what it is. It feels weird to me that I can be like, well, yeah, that's what it is, and so, ta-da. And I don't know, it's just, it's true, it's not that it's false, but it's just, it's weird, because I'm one of those guys, right, who I never, I don't win like lottery things and I don't get awards and things like that don't happen to me. They happen to other people. And again, this, it's not an award, but it's an accomplishment. An accomplishment, first of all, for the 10 years, an accomplishment for, I guess, being thick enough and stubborn enough to last so long and just not giving up. I mean, I don't know. But Neil did tell me that, according to the dates on the feeds, Wargaming Recon takes first place just by 6 days. And I think he said that Wargaming Recon has been in existence 6 months longer than Meeples and Miniatures, and Meeples and Miniatures is the longest running tabletop wargaming podcast in all of the United Kingdom. And so to me, that says Drop Podcast would be the second longest tabletop wargaming podcast in existence. There are other podcasts that have been around longer than any of these three shows I'm mentioning. My show, Meeples and Miniatures, and Drop Pod. You get things like the Adam Carolla Show. I mentioned This Week in Tech. You get the Dice Tower, which is amazing. One of the best podcasts in existence. And they cover board games. And some people would say some of the board games kind of leech into, you know, tabletop wargaming and so forth. But as Neil's defined and as I'm using them, you know, this is what it is. And these other shows are not tabletop wargaming podcasts. So I should say that. And I also want to give a couple caveats to this, in addition to what I mentioned. First of all, and as Neil pointed out to me, and it's true, and you'll hear from him actually later this episode, he kindly sent in an audio recording, just some warm wishes for the 10-year anniversary. And he jokes with me, but it's true. In 2007, I think it was, I think I only released like 2 episodes. However, I want to say, first of all, that year, I had a different release schedule. I was something new, and I was trying it, and very experimental and avant-garde, right? I also need to say that I'm not the only one who's done something like that. Dan Carlin, who I'm not saying I'm anywhere near as good as Dan Carlin, but Dan Carlin does those like hardcore history podcasts. If I look in my notes, I can see that, for example, I think it was 2007, Dan Carlin released only two episodes as well. And his was 6 months apart and mine were not. So just saying, he also has or had a sporadic release schedule. And I would say he's still been in existence since then, like Wargaming Recon. So just wanted to point that out. And then also, I know some of you might think, well, is it really the same show if you change the name? And I'm going to say yes, because the new name was part of the show. It was actually integrated as a contest. And let me back up a little bit to talk about a brief history of Wargaming Recon. And this might be a little boring, but it might be of interest. If you are a newer listener and you kind of wonder where the show came from and how it got to be here, just think I'm saving you like hundreds of hours of listening of old episodes from the vault. So when the show began, as I said, it had a different name. It was called like CWF Gamecast or something like that. But then as I moved forward in episode, oh geez, what was it? It was something like episode 100 and, you know, honestly, I can't quite remember. Sometime, it was 2011 though, we ran a contest as part of the show. Say I needed a new name and I wanted the listeners to help me come up with this. So do your submissions. There are all sorts of prizes. A year's subscription to Battle Games Magazine by Henry Hyde. And I believe, yes, for Ortiz, WSNS got involved and had some freebies and we had other things to give to the winner. And what ended up happening was there was two people. I ended up picking two submissions, one from Court and one from Andrew. And I took part of each of theirs and put them together to create Wargaming Recon. So that ended up with the new name. It was part of the show. It was a contest on the show at the time to create this new name. And I've done other episodes that kind of talk about those earlier days of the show. So for example, you can listen to episode 111 where I kind of give an abbreviated origin story, so to speak, of Wargaming Recon and how I started for my work, basically as a workshop kind of thing to learn about podcasting. And then the early days, I spoke a lot, almost exclusively actually, about Games Workshop, because that's where I was as a gamer. I was a GW gamer. And then episode 93, I dig a little bit more of the origin story, so you can listen to episode 93. And that episode was cool because Aaron Bostian, who's been a guest on the show, he's a friend of the show, and I love chatting with him. He put me in the hot seat, and he came on as a guest, and he interviewed me, so he took over. He's like, Jonathan, let's talk about you and where Wargaming Recon came from and all that kind of stuff. So that was really cool. Episode 63 was when I announced that the new name would be Wargaming Recon. So I had done 62 episodes. And I said, here's the new name. This is the last episode to use that old name. And then episode 64, where I discussed historical modeling, is the very first episode that used Wargaming Recon. Prior to that, they all had that old name or they were abbreviated as CWF or something weird like that. Didn't really mean anything. And honestly, I wish I had changed the name sooner, but had this new name. So it was awesome. And I've talked in those episodes in more depth about, you know, some of the other guests have come on, early guests and things like co-hosts and how that kind of stuff works, or in some cases didn't. And you can listen to those episodes if you're really that interested in that. But I want to talk about some of my favorite memories from Wargaming Recon. And then I'm going to get into sharing some of yours too, because I put word out on our social media sites and things and said, hey, if you have any, please let me know. Send them to me. I'll read them. I'll play them or, you know, whatever. We'll get that going and share all of that information with everyone in this new episode. So one of my favorite memories, and these are not in chronological order or anything like that, but one of my favorite memories is getting in touch with and getting Henry Hyde as a guest on the show for the first time. And I've talked about this a lot, but I can't overestimate Henry Hyde's importance both to this podcast and to me as a tabletop gamer. So on a personal level, I had contacted Henry Hyde, and I have said this a lot, this story, but I contacted him basically with a long email with lots of questions. And at the time I said, you know, Henry, I'd like to get into Black Powder, but I'm confused because where do you go for the miniatures? They don't make miniatures. And how do you do this? And how do you do that? And basically tell me everything you know about everything so that I can get into this. And bless his heart, Henry didn't say, you are just a wanker and forget it. He replied, he gave some wonderful information that helped me out a lot. and allowed me to migrate from that GW mindset where everything is together by that one company, and helped me open my eyes to realize there's this beauty of historical wargaming where you can buy a set of rules that you like from whatever company. In my case, it was Black Powder. But then you can get your miniatures from the Perry Brothers. You can get your miniatures from Old Glory. You can get your miniatures from Peter Pig or whomever. You don't have to get everything from the same company. So you can pick which sculpts you like the best, which ones are cheapest. You can pick whatever scale you want. And I was so used to Games Workshop saying, okay, everything's 28 millimeter. Everything's really 35 millimeter. You know what I mean? But you got to use our models, our paints, our books, our terrain making stuff, our glue, our everything, all the way down to the measuring tape and the cases and all that kind of stuff. And if you don't use our paints and they have to have at least 3 different colors of paint on each model, you don't use those and our models, we're not going to let you into our official events. And then you can't play because you don't belong in the club. So I was so used to that and thinking, I want to belong in the club. I want to be able to play historical war games. How can I get in the club? I don't know. And Henry, wow. What a gentleman, really. He's truly an amazing person. And he helped me out so much. And then he was on the show, too, to talk about Battle Games Magazine. At the time, he was the editor and owner of Battle Games, which is now part of Miniature War Games Magazine. He's come on many times onto the show. He'll be coming on the next episode that you hear. He'll be talking about his new venture, Gladius Publications. He's going to be doing some self-publishing and digital publishing and that sort of stuff. Maybe some print-on-demand, I believe. But we'll dive into that when he's on the next episode. And he's talked about all sorts of things, whether it's been what he's been doing with the magazines, with his book, The Wargaming Compendium. Those of you watching live or watching our YouTube video, you can see is right behind me. Product placement. It's a fantastic book. I think it's one of the best historical wargaming books that you can buy, period. If you don't have a copy, you should get one. I'll try to remember to have a link in the show notes. It'll be in an Amazon affiliate link, so please note that it won't cost you extra, but by sending you to Amazon, Amazon will send a little bit of money our way as thanks for sending them the business. And I'm not sending you them so that I get the money. I mean, the money's nice, but I'm sending you them because it's a really good book and it's a great price there. But if you get a great local game store or a bookstore that has it that you love to support, or an independent bookstore or whatever, I get it. You know, support them. It's very important to do that. So it doesn't matter how you get it, as long as it's legal, but make sure you legally get a copy of this book because it's must have. So as I said, Henry's been on numerous times, talked about all sorts of stuff. He's a fascinating individual. And one of the things I love about Henry, besides his kindness, his generosity, his vast knowledge, is his willingness to talk about just about anything because he's so knowledgeable and willing and ready, and because he does so in such a way that makes me and I believe other people excited about what he's discussing. So when he talks about English Civil War, it makes me think, wow, that sounds really cool. I should do English Civil War. I don't, because I got to check myself, but it makes me think, wow, I really should do English Civil War. This would be awesome. I also love how he gives back. He does it through his combat stress appeal to help service people who come back from fighting and serving in the military over in the United Kingdom who suffer from what they call combat stress, or here in the States, we refer to it as PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. So he does a lot with that and he's fantastic. He cares so deeply, and I love that he's taken pity on yours truly and he's willing to come on this show to talk about stuff. And all I need to do is say, hi, Henry, what's going on? And then he can talk for an hour. He can talk for 2 hours. He can talk for 3 hours. Just go, go, go. And it's great because I get to enjoy him. And I think all of you get to enjoy him too. So it's really cool. As I used to say, until I learned that it wasn't quite a nice thing to say in English or British English, is that I always viewed Henry as like the Energizer Bunny. You could just wind him up and let him go. Until I realized winding someone up in the United Kingdom means like, not a nice thing. Like, you're just trying to aggravate them and push all their buttons in the wrong way, which is not what I want to do. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be unkind. I literally meant like a clockwork toy. Like, you just wind up the clockwork, and Henry's not a toy. I shouldn't need to say that, but it's true. You wind up the toy soldier and he starts marching off. In Henry's case, you wind up Henry's clockworks, and he can tell you anything you ever needed to know or didn't even know that you needed to know about wargaming. So he's a guy, his name keeps on popping up wherever I happen to look. probably wherever you happen to look to, you might not even realize it, but he's had a lot to do with things in the wargaming hobby. For example, he designed the logo for the Plastic Soldier Company, which is pretty cool. It's one of my, I think, most recent favorite logos for a company. It's beautiful, and it gets across what they do. So you might not always see his name attached to stuff, but he does quite a bit, actually. And as I said, he's been just a fantastic guest. It's truly wonderful when he comes on. If I'm lucky, I get him on once a year, sometimes twice a year. He's just so busy. I don't know how he finds time to do all the stuff he does. He has the monthly magazine he has to edit. He has his books that he's working on. He has this new venture he's going to be doing. He's on View from the Veranda with Neil Shook, and he does all these other kind of things. And dang, he's a busy guy, and I haven't a clue how he does it. I really don't. I wish I was as able to be so productive as he. It's hard, but that's a goal to which I aspire. So Henry is one of my favorite memories on the show. And another one is the first holiday gift guide. You can find this at, it's recast number one, which is weird because I look back and that episode doesn't actually have a number. And I can't figure out what the number is, but I know that I did recast. And recast were a series of episodes where I took these older ones and I kind of spruced them up a little bit, like I did with that first episode of Wargaming Recon, where I re-released it, spruced up and so forth. And I did that with other episodes. I realized in those early days, the show didn't sound quite where I would like it to be. And I still have improvement, no doubt. Better equipment and tools and so forth can assist in that. But in those early days, I was working with a headset mic and, you know, I was talking in and I'm as mad as you could hear. Because I talk speedily. One of the things I do, I'm very high energy and I could say things very slowly, perhaps at a normal pace for people to listen, but I don't talk that way. I speak more quickly. So I don't know if some of you, when you listen, if you need to slow down the show to like half speed or whatever, I talk fast is what it is. But those early episodes, they could be hard, very hard to listen to. And I understand that. So I did some that were recasts and this was one of them. And in this one, I decided at the time I wanted to do something cool because it's always kind of been a problem where family members and friends have had difficulty figuring out what to get me for gifts in the hobby. They didn't necessarily understand this whole tabletop wargaming kind of thing, and they didn't necessarily know what I needed, what I wanted. So I wanted to try to make it easier for not just people in my life, but the people in everyone else's lives, because I realized I'm not the only one having this problem. You are, your friends are, your family members are. So whether you're a wargamer or whether you need to buy for a wargamer who's in your life, it can be hard, right? There's so many different things, and especially with historicals, it's hard to know. Do they get a Pendragon? Do they get an Old Glory? What do they get, and who do they use, and what scale, and right? Difficult. So these holiday gift guides are really cool because that first one kind of allowed me to do that and dive in, and they become a tradition where every year now I release a new holiday gift guide. I break them down by price, and I say, here are some in this category of, you know, X amount of dollars or less, and this is this amount of dollars or more. Things that you can get, things that I think are safe bets for just about any wargamer that people will like, will have fun, things that I like. And some of them are affiliate links, so it goes back to that, you know, you click there and the whatever company gives me a little something. Some of them are not. It doesn't matter to me. If I can use an affiliate link, great. If not, whatever. I want to recommend the product because I think it's a game or a tool or a supply or whatever that will be useful. And I want to make everyone's lives a little easier. The holidays, the winter holidays, Christmas, Hanukkah, so forth, they can be stressful enough, and we shouldn't make this stressful. We should try to make everyone's lives a little easier, a little better, a little more filled with joy. And I like to think this kind of does that. And I know people have listened to these episodes and have enjoyed them, so that's something that I'm glad to be able to continue doing. And it all started just from something that I was experiencing. And I'm sure so many of you have experienced the same thing where you think, oh, crikey, what do I get? Like, I don't know. It's hard. It can be very hard in general, really, just to buy a gift for anyone. So to try to make it a little easier is, I think, a good thing. It's something I hope I've done with the holiday gift guide episodes. Another very happy or memorable memory for me here on the show are the Extra Life Gamerthon episodes. So Extra Life is not something that I had come across on my own. Ben Gerber of Indie Talks over at Troll in the Corner kind of introduced me to it. And at the time he said, hey, do you want to come over and play some games? There's this thing,
And he raised some money and I said, yeah, sure, I'll sign up too. And, you know, we'll do whatever. And I just kind of went over and played games. And then I did episode 103, which was the very first Extra Life Gameathon episode, where I talked about the games I played and the things, and we raised some money. And then I did another Extra Life Gameathon episode, episode 126. And then I believe there was another Gameathon episode, episode 149. And there'll be another one this year for 2016, of course. I'll have links to all those in the show notes, don't worry, in case you want to listen to them. For those of you who don't know what Extra Life is, Extra Life is this charity. And their mission is to make sure that no child who needs medical treatment is refused it because they cannot afford to pay for it. So their families might not have money, whatever, their kids who suffer from leukemia or cancer, they have chronic issues like cystic fibrosis or whatever. Really scary, scary diseases, things that I wouldn't wish on anyone. And these are kids, right? They're just helpless kids and they're stuck with these awful diseases. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the one who says to their family, we know your kid's really sick, but you guys don't have the money, so we're not going to give them treatment. So that's why I belong to this, because I want to make sure that that doesn't happen, that the kids get the help that they need. And Extra Life does that, and they coordinate with a variety of hospitals. There's hospitals all over the U.S. and in other countries as well. And people who participate and raise money for it, who play games, basically. It's a 24-hour marathon is what it is. You do that by playing games or gaming-related things. The people who raise money pick a hospital of their choice. And that hospital benefits from the money. So the proceeds go directly to that hospital to pay for these treatments for the kids who can't afford it. I've chosen Boston Children's Hospital. They're a fantastic hospital, one of the best children's hospitals in the entire world. And they do just amazing things. And so I've been doing this for 4 years. And over the course of 4 years, with the generosity of listeners like you and coworkers and friends and family and just other people, have been able to raise $1,554.68. Now that might not seem like a lot, but darn. To me, that's a lot of money. That's over $1,500 to help some kids in need. And it's not going to pay for everything they need, no. But if I'm doing it, and if someone down the street's doing it, and someone else is doing it, and there's so many of us who are doing it, we can make a difference, a real difference in these kids' lives. And so I am proud, I guess is the right word. I'm grateful to be able to give back, is what it is. And I'm able to do it because of people like you. So this is actually really neat because in addition to giving back, it's not just raising money. It's kind of taken on a life of its own where listeners of Wargaming Recon have wanted to help in interesting ways. So I have to highlight listener Dave. He started a charity auction 1 year where he painted a historical model, and it's gorgeous. He's a beautiful painter. His work is astounding. And he auctioned it on eBay and gave the proceeds. And this is an interesting story because I think one of the common threads with Wargaming Recon is that we're able to connect with wargamers. We have this common ground. You can kind of form friendships in unexpected ways. So Dave was listening to the show. He did this. He talked to me, and I formed a friendship with it. The person who won is a listener in a Scandinavian country, and he and I have become friends because of this. And it's weird how these connections get made. So then this charity auction kind of continued on with Dave was doing it, and then it's grown so that other people have gotten involved. They're painting stuff for it and sending me the stuff. And so I'm putting the auctions up on eBay. Not yet, but I will be. And auctioning off, and then the proceeds from that will go right into this fundraiser to help out so people like you can get really cool things at a good price. And the money you pay then goes to help these kids in need. I've also kind of expanded this so that I invite people here to my house, listeners, friends, you know, whoever. And we play games. 1775, we play Black Powder, we do whatever for 4, 6, 8 hours or whatever. We get together, we play games, and I take photos and I document it, and that goes up. I do a live blog, which is a blog where the post constantly gets updated with new things. Think of it like a Twitter feed or a Facebook page that keeps on getting updated, but it's on the Wargaming Recon blog. And then last year, in 2015, I did something new. Whereas in the past, I, you know, would record an episode and talk about the games that was played. And then I would actually play games and take photos and that sort of stuff and do things on social media, on Facebook and Twitter. In 2015, I said, well, I can do this Google Hangout thing and I can do it live. So it goes on YouTube, does YouTube live. And I did basically a Wargaming Recon TV channel sort of kind of thing for, it was like 6 hours, 8 hours, something like that, where I talked live, and I think I used some of that where I recorded an episode live that way. And that was the episode that came out for the Extra Life Gamathon for 2015. But then I also did something I hadn't done in a long, long time. I painted a model. I actually painted. And if you're watching this video, you'll see it. And if not, I encourage you to watch it. It's basically me talking, but you'll get to see some stuff. I painted this Flames of War objective marker, which I pointed out time and time again. It's a fuel dump. And I painted that. And I did it right in front. And I was like, how am I going to do this? So I got my webcam that I use. It's a Logitech CR, something. You think I would know. It's a high def one. Doesn't matter. It does 1080p, which is high def. The videos I put on YouTube are usually 720. Again, doesn't matter. The high def, high quality. So I put it on my MacBook and I angled it down so I could, cause I could watch right on the screen what I was doing. So I did it. So it would show what I was doing. And I angled it and I got a brush and I painted and I did. I had primed it, I believe, before he, no, I didn't prime it. I hand primed it. So I got, you know, black primer paint. I painted it on with a brush and I did a base coat. We go base coat and we let it dry. I said, oh, it's drying, you know, and then I did this and did that and I painted the basing and I said, okay, you know, for all intents and purposes, that's basically done. And what kills me is doing that probably took an hour, hour and a half, maybe. I have another one that I did that I think looks pretty decent, actually. It took 12 hours between the basing, the highlights, the dry brushing, the inks and all that kind of stuff. 12 hours. It doesn't look like it took 12 hours to me, but it did. This one, hour and a half, it's not as nice, but you know, I can put it on the table and it's fine. I'm not someone who gets time to paint. I'm not someone who really enjoys painting, but for these special occasions, it's something I'll do. I will paint, I'll do it. And if it's going to help raise money for the kids, you know, I'll do it. And maybe this year for 2016, maybe I'll do where if we reach a certain amount of money, I'll paint something. Probably not like a box or something, but I'll paint a few figures or something. I'll paint some tanks. I love tanks. Artillery. Things of that sort. I don't know, paint something. So it's been great that I've been able to do this and that people have responded in this way and raised money for this charity. I can tell you I've done this for the past few years as part of the Troll in the Corner team, the Team Troll, it's called. And for several years, we were one of the highest earners in the entire state of Massachusetts, or not just in the state, but for Boston Children's Hospital. So we've gotten phone calls from the like director of fundraising and things like that, which is kind of neat. For me, that doesn't matter. What matters is getting the money in so the kids can get that treatment that they need. I've talked about before that I have a cousin. She has cystic fibrosis, and so she goes into children to get her treatment done. My daughter had to be seen at one point when she was younger. I mean, not that she's old, but she's a year and a half. But when she was really little, she had to be seen by some specialists from Boston Children's Hospital. So it touched my life. It's touched other people's lives. I know it's touched Ben Gerber's life through his kids. They do a lot of wonderful things. And I'm in a position where we can pay, so it's not a problem. But not everyone is, and I understand that. So I want to make sure that I do my part to try to help and give back for this. Now, I have a few, is it a few? Yeah. I have a few other highlight memories for me. One is the first time I went to TotalCon. TotalCon is they say they're the largest tabletop gaming convention in New England. I think I got that right. I'm trying to remember. But basically they do role-playing games, D&D, old school role-playing games, board games. That's their focus. They do have some historicals and other things, but their focus is on those others. And so the first time I went, I was like, okay, this will be cool. And I went and I went to some panels and things and I was basically really shy. I thought I'll cover it for the show and I was shy. But one thing that I did, and I was so glad that I did, was at the end of a panel that I was attending, I got up and introduced myself to one of the people who spoke who really struck me. And his name is Ben Gerber. And because I did that, he happened to put out a call a short time later saying that he needed and wanted some people to contribute to his blog. So I contacted them and said, hey, you know, I met you at the convention and this, that, and the other. And then that led to me becoming an editor for Troll in the Corner. That led to me working with Ben and co-founding the Troll in the Corner podcast network. That led to me coming back to TotalCon and meeting other people. A lot of networking happens there. And you would think TotalCon's not really a historical or tabletop wargaming kind of convention, and it's not. But it's one at which I have a lot of fun. And it's actually resulted in more guests and things for the show than when I go to the historical ones. When I go to like Havoc or Huzzah, I love Huzzah. I love Havoc too. But when I go to Huzzah up in Maine, I love it there, right? It's beautiful. It's wonderful. They're all fantastic people. Have a great time. Get to play a lot of historical games that I don't get to play otherwise. But that doesn't necessarily end up equating into guests for the show or necessarily show topics, oddly enough. It's weird. But TotalCon has done it, so it's become a tradition for me to go every year. And the people who run it, the organizers, they kind of accepted me as like part of the family almost, which is neat because they're just wonderful people. And so I get extra access to things that maybe I wouldn't get otherwise. And some of it I'm allowed to talk about and some I'm not. And I make a point of saying that when I release those episodes. So I've started to do live recordings there, usually from my hotel room. And maybe next time around, I'll actually do one, you know, in a place where people can go because I did that at Huzzah. And I've gone there and I've gotten to get access to things and information to stuff that's really cool. And then it comes into the episodes here of Wargaming Recon for all of you. I think you end up liking it and I feel that it's done good things. As I said, I've made a lot of contacts with people in the industries, and one of the things it's done is it's led to the result of Wargaming Recon becoming the flagship tabletop wargaming podcast for the TSR Podcast Network. That's a fantastic podcast network, and there's a lot of big names involved there, specifically with the role-playing game community, but in general, a lot of big names. And by going to TotalCon, I've met some amazing people, and a lot of these people have been guests on the show. So Angela Parento has been on numerous times. She's the media director there. Her husband, Stephen Parento, is the events director. He's come on the show before to talk about TotalCon and miniatures gaming. He loves miniatures gaming. He's a huge historical history buff. As I mentioned, Ben Gerber and his wife, Jen, she's now a coordinator over there as well. She hasn't come on the show, but she plays a lot of games. And I tell you, we're playing Tasman with that woman because she's amazing. But Ben's been on the show before. Jay and his wife, Renee Libby. Jay's been on the show because he co-owns Dilly Green Bean Games, which does all sorts of really cool, like, superhero and other types of, like, pulp role-playing games. You'll actually hear from him later this episode. He sent in a video. You'll get to hear the audio unless you're a Patreon backer, in which case I'll release the video to you. But he sent a little video, you know, recording of well wishes for this episode. And then Peter Blix Bryant of the Mythwits, and he's the producer over at TSR Podcast Network. So he's been on the show, and his buddy and cohort, Mike Kafes, has been on Mythwits over there. And I've been on the Mythwits for things. And Mike hasn't been on here yet. I should get him on, though. I think that would be good. James Carpio is another role-playing game designer who I've gotten to meet. He's part of the TSR Podcast Network, and his wife, Mary Lindholm, is involved. And both of them were involved with Gygax Magazine when it was in existence. And that was run by Jason Elliott, who owns the TSR Podcast Network, and Frank Mentzer and Tim Kask were involved with that at that point. And they may or may not still be involved with the podcast network, but they're big names with D&D. And so it's been cool to be able to hang out with them and be at events with them and go to after parties, and just the stories are amazing. And then I've been able to meet people like Brendan of Crossroad Games and hang out with him. And he's fantastic because whenever I go to a convention where Crossroad Games has a booth, I look for him. He's not always there, but whoever is working it is so knowledgeable, and they've helped me buy board games that they're just fantastic. Gordon of Adler Board Game Cafe has been another amazing person who I've met originally through TotalCon, although he doesn't go there anymore as a vendor. He goes predominantly to Huzzah and some of the others. Mike Payne, who's been on the show before, who he hates when I say this, but he's a superstar game master. I think he is the ideal for me for what kind of game master I would like to be. And he's been on the show. Listeners, Patrick and Dan. Patrick was the first listener I've ever met in person, and it struck with me. And he and I have formed a friendship, and it's great. And then there's been way too many other people who, honestly, I can't list you all. I wish I could, but I can't. And this is one of the wonderful things about going to a convention. It doesn't have to be TotalCon. I love TotalCon, and of course, I'm talking about that. But whether you go to Havoc, you go to Huzzah, you go to Historicon, you go to Salute, you know, whatever it is, you get to meet those people and you get to make those connections, and that can lead to stuff. And if you're a podcaster like me, you get to meet your listeners. I don't like to use the word fan because to me that feels conceited. Why is someone a fan of mine? I'm not someone who has fans. Someone like a Henry Hyde should have fans. I'm a fan of Henry Hyde. Me, not so much. But you get to meet all these people and these other gamers and learn cool things, and they're fantastic places. They really are. And then my final, you know, special memory, favorite memory of Wargaming Recon involves a listener, Andrew Malcolm. Andrew is deceased, and the show's dedicated to his memory. You'll hear a thing at the end of the episode about that. But what is a favorite memory of mine is forming a friendship with him. So Andrew was a very special person because he suffered from diabetes. And as a result of that, he was legally blind. He loved to wargame, and he unfortunately was not able to do that anymore because he couldn't see the results on the dice or the rule books or the models even sometimes. It depended. He suffered from depression and other issues. But what he could do was he could listen to people talking about wargaming. So that kind of became his hobby. And he glommed onto Wargame Recon and liked here. And because of that, he would write in and I would write back and we would have these conversations through email and through instant messaging chats and things like that. And we would talk about all sorts of stuff, you name it, things that I would never discuss, you know, with other people. I normally don't talk politics or religion, that kind of stuff. Those don't make it into the show at all. But I would discuss these things with them and we just kind of got to know each other. And although we never met because he lived in Wales and I live here in the States, I kind of feel like we knew each other better than if we had met or lived near each other. And I said earlier, he helped to give the show its name, which was fantastic. One of the things that I really like to think is that he had a lot of pain in his life, a lot of unhappiness, but I like to think that he got some joy by listening to Wargaming Recon and some of the other podcasts, Meeples and Miniatures and on the other shows like that. And that helped him to kind of escape. So whenever I create an episode of Wargaming Recon, I like to keep Andrew in mind. One, because I like to imagine that there's someone out there, one of you who's listening, maybe you're having a bad day. Things aren't going so well. Maybe, you know, you spilled coffee down your shirt or, I don't know, you ran out of gas or something. Things just aren't going well. But maybe by listening to this show, if I can be upbeat, I can be happy, I can convey that energy, maybe I can put a smile on your face. And even if it's only for a minute or two, I think it's worth it. So that by sharing the show and sharing the information and whatever I'm talking about with you, that can kind of take you away from things. And like I said, put that smile on your face and brighten your day just for a little bit. Andrew often talked with me about wanting to spread his love of wargaming and that he loved to teach kids how to play games. So although he couldn't see the rule books, he had them memorized. He knew them inside and out. Truly amazing. So he would go to these game stores and he would teach people how to play. He couldn't see, but they would tell him what was being done. And he'd say, okay, that's okay, and this and that. And he'd explain things, and he's very good with speaking to kids and trying to grow the hobby. So that's something else I've kind of remembered, that I've wanted to make sure that I use the show to give back, like Andrew did. He gave back by trying to grow the hobby and to reach out to these kids to provide a good experience for them. And that's something I want to do. I want to make sure that I use the show for good, that I can give back to the community and make things a little bit better. So that's why I do things like the Extra Life Gamathon. And why I've done donations to things and why I try to make it a pleasurable experience for all of you. So I do all these things, one, because I enjoy podcasting, of course, and I enjoy talking about gaming and things like that. But I'm trying to make it worth your time and try to make things a little bit brighter for all of you and those of us around us. So I keep that in mind. And Andrew's really stuck with me in ways that I never expected he would, but he has. And so in case there are other Andrews out there in any of your lives, I hope you keep that in mind. It could be something small, something just like releasing a podcast episode. It can make a difference in someone's life. So keep that in mind. Well, I've waffled on enough about some of my memories. Let me share some of yours. So for today's mailbag, I'm actually doing something different. I'm splitting mailbag up a little bit. I'm going to share some of your favorite memories and thoughts now. These will be ones where people have written in to me, so where I'll read what they've said. And then at the end of the show, you'll be able to hear the things where people sent recordings in. And so you can hear them in their words, which are really cool. So via email, listener Dave said, quote, "Well done, buddy. If you keep up the show for the next 10, I'd appreciate it. It'd sure help clear this lead mountain of mine. Keep on gaming." So thank you, Dave, for writing in and your kind words. And you know what? I've always said that I will continue to do the show as long as people are listening and like to listen. I can find things to talk about, as you can tell. I get very chatty. It's hard for me to be like, okay, just zip it up right now and be done. But I can be very chatty. So as long as people want to listen, I'll keep on doing the show. And I actually had thought, you know, when my daughter was born, maybe I should think of this as a time to stop, to do something different or whatever. Maybe I won't have the time to, but things have been working out. And as long as I can do this and as long as people like to listen, I'm going to do it. Of course, it counts on a few things. One, I need people to listen, and the way I know that is by people giving me your feedback. So you can email me like Dave did by writing to jonathan@wargamingrecon.com, or you can send a message on Facebook. We're at wargamingrecon.com/Facebook, or send a message via Twitter, wargamingrecon.com/tweet. Those are the main methods. Of course, you can leave comments on the show notes, or things tend to get reshared on Facebook, so you can leave a comment there and I can end up seeing it. But I need to hear from you. That's how I know people like you are listening. And then also, I need to be able to do the show. It costs money to do the show. And so I'm not putting my beggar's head out now. But when I thank people like the sponsor and Patreon, I will emphasize that. But I need those things both to happen for the show to continue. I need people to listen and enjoy listening. I know that by you telling me it. And I also need the money to keep on coming, because I tell you, I only have so much, as we all do, really. But if each of us only gave like a dollar, a little bit, it would make a big difference, because a lot of you listen to the show and maybe you're in positions where you can do so. And I know some of you have, and I appreciate that. And then actually, I should just back up and say, Dave, that mountain of lead, you got to take care of that. The more I think about the last episode, the tips for hiring a miniatures painter, the more I'm realizing I don't think I should buy any more models. And actually, like, maybe I should get rid of some, that I need to focus on having my stuff painted so I can play with it instead of it sitting in its packages unused and unopened. And that's something I might recommend for other people, but I'll leave that for another show. And then from Facebook, listener Jamie, who's another longtime listener who I mentioned, he lives in Scandinavia, and he ended up getting that auction for that figure, that Benefit Extra Life, and we've become friends. But he wrote in and said, quote, "I love your show. You've covered so very, very many different topics. It's been really hard to choose a fave episode. I loved when you covered making a gaming table, painting armies with a spray can, a couple of Kickstarters, all sorts. I think I started listening to Wargaming Recon at about episode 105, but it's hard to be sure as I've gone back and heard so many old episodes. Your ability to carry an episode on your own is fantastic, a real strength. But with an interview, your show takes off. Many are great. I like hearing about nautical gaming, and Henry Hyde shows are always fun. The best, though, I think, was episode 123, The Great Wargaming Survey Summary. Thanks for the great years of show," unquote. Well, thank you, Jamie, for listening and your very kind words. And I agree. I would love to have a regular co-host. And I've talked about this before. There's been some feedback from other people. Listener Jay, for example, wrote in and suggested having like a stable of co-hosts that I could cycle through. I'd love to have other people, because it lessens the burden on me. And honestly, who wants to hear me talk all the time? That's why I love guests, because you can hear what the guest has going on and you get to hear them talk. So I always tell a guest, listeners to Wargaming Recon get to hear me all the time, but they only get to hear you when you're on. So I try to give the guests as much time as possible for them to talk about what's going to be of interest to you, the listener. And if you're interested in episode 105, geez, that really does feel like a long time ago, but episode 105, long time ago, that's when I had John and Diane Sutherland on, and they talked about the Wargame Holidays Center. And I keep on trying to get them to come back on to talk about why it closed, and they're willing to do so. It's just their schedules are crazy, crazy. They're both authors and very, very busy. But anyway, thank you, Jamie, for writing in. And I agree with you. I love when there's a guest on. I love hearing them. And there's been a lot of episodes. So thank you for your kind words. And I hope others will go back through the archive and listen to some of those other older episodes. I want to, as I said, split up the mailbag and go into the announcements right now. And I want to let all of you know that the Great Wargaming Survey 2016 is going on right now. So please take the survey. You'll find a link to it in the show notes. And the people at WSNS, War Games, Soldiers, and Strategy, are the people who are doing the survey. And they kindly invited me to create a video telling people to come and do the survey. And they released that on their Facebook. So you can see a video of my daughter and me, yes, both of us, encouraging you to take the Great Wargaming Survey for 2016. And then the last episode, I mentioned that there was going to be a contest going on, a giveaway, really, for our Facebook page, that we were so close to reaching our 1,500th like. And what this is, in case you don't know, is if you have a Facebook page, people can like it. And by liking it, they follow it and they get to see updates from it. They're fans, for lack of a better word. So I said we were so close to having 1,500 fans. And whomever the 1,500th person was to like the page would receive a free digital album by Matthew Ebel. Even before the episode released, that happened. So the winner is Chris R. He won the giveaway for being the 1500th person to like the Facebook page. So congratulations, Chris. And it's funny because I was talking with him online because I contacted him to get his information so I could send him the album and everything. And I said, Chris, congratulations, you won. He's like, what? I won? I didn't even know there was a thing. I guess a friend of his had shared something that we had posted, or I had posted rather, and he liked it and thought, oh, cool, I'm going to check out the page. And he liked the things that were on the Facebook page. And so then he liked it. And through talking with him, he's going to start listening to the episodes. And maybe you're listening to this one now, Chris. And it turns out he's a game designer. So who knows? Maybe I can convince him to come on a future episode of Wargaming Recon to talk about a game he's working on. He told me a little bit about it. It sounds really cool. So I would love to have him on. And then Kickstarter. Last time I mentioned there's a new Kickstarter that I think you should all check out. It's called Worldographer Hexographer 2. And Joe Wetzel, owner of Inkwell Ideas, is the man behind that Kickstarter. He's done a few others. I have the original Hexographer and I love it. And Joe and I talked. He's going to come on an episode of the show to talk about this Kickstarter. We're working out dates for him to come on. So it's going to be an upcoming episode, but he's going to come on and talk about it. I can tell you, because I know sometimes people worry, this Kickstarter has reached its goal. So it is successfully funded. And at this point, they're working towards a stretch goal. So you can still sign on and get this product. It's a great piece of software, perfect for whether you're doing role-playing games or war games or military games, historical, whatever, where you can create a campaign map, basically. Or you can create a map of the table that you're going to play on. And you can really drill down. It does it with hexes, and it makes it very easy. And this new version is going to make it even better. So they've reached two stretch goals already, and they raised the $15,000 that they needed. The first stretch goal they got was a city notes generator where basically you click on a city that you created and you click on a little thing and it comes up with an auto-generated description for it. The second stretch goal were 15 new isometric icons, things like cities and towns and forts and stuff like that. They're working toward the third stretch goal, which will be a castle notes generator so that if there's a castle, you can auto-generate a description for it. And now this is how we pay the bills, right? The sponsor. So I want to thank our very kind sponsor, the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They are the people behind Huzzah Historical Wargaming for New England. And Huzzah will be May 19th through the 21st, 2017. I will be there. I'll be doing a live recording. I am so grateful to everyone at Huzzah, but especially Dean Emerson for his help in working things out so that Huzzah could be made aware of the need for sponsorship and all the members of the Maine Historical Wargamers Association for sponsoring the show. And as I said earlier, a few things are needed for the show to happen. Me or someone to talk. You to listen and to let me know you're listening and that you like what I'm doing or don't like. Feedback is great. And then funding. So some funding comes from me, but that pie is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And the rest of the funding has to come from somewhere else, such as sponsors like the Maine Historical Wargames Association. And without that funding, the show doesn't exist. Even if the other pieces are there, you get those empty parts of the pie and the pie just crumbles, right? So you gotta make sure they're all there. And another way that funding comes in to help is through listeners like you. This is what I call the PBS model. A lot of people do, right? Where you listen, you like what I'm doing, so you want to help out. And the way you can do that is through Patreon. Patreon is fantastic because it makes it really easy to support shows. They take payment via PayPal or a debit card or a credit card, things like that. And it goes through and it does it automatically so that you can support the show and then you can get rewards. So I have different backer level rewards. Right now, a cool backer level reward that I'm doing and I'm pushing because I think this is truly a great backer level reward. If you back for $18 per month, that's only 18 per month, which is, what is that, $9 an episode. You can get a set of six of these custom wooden Wargaming Recon dice. They're laser engraved dice. I think they're gorgeous. Christopher Rett deserves a lot of credit because he created the design for them. He made them and you can get them. $18 that gets you a set of six dice. I'll mail them to you and they're yours. They're beautiful dice. I'm keeping a set for myself. They're wonderful. And you can get in for $1 per month and that'll get you in as a backer. All backers get episodes of Wargaming Recon before non-backers. So the show comes out on Mondays, every other Monday, and backers tend to get it on Sunday or sometimes Saturday. And then they also get behind the scenes stuff. So all backers get that. But then some backers get, you know, the dice. Some get a postcard mailed to them every month. Some get a t-shirt. It depends on what level you back, but there's many different price points that you can do. And then one of the things I do is I have goals built in here that's based on the fundraising level. So we just reached one goal on Patreon and we're working toward another one. So we're $36 away from the next Patreon goal. And if we reach this next goal after we get $36 more, and the $36 is on a per month basis. So what that means is we need enough of you to fund to reach this. So like if 36 of you gave a dollar, we'd reach this goal. And this goal is cool because it will allow me to buy more equipment so I can record in the field. That means I can have an in-person guest, which is something I cannot do now. I can have someone sitting right next to me, or I can be at a convention like TotalCon, or at Huzzah, or at a game day. I'll be at the Hobby Bunker game day later in August 2016. I could be there with the equipment and a guest, and so I can do more in-person stuff, which would be really cool, make it easier to get the show done, and I can get more content and conversations with people like you. So I can be at a thing that you're at and I can say, hey, you want to sit down for a couple minutes and we can just talk and you'll be in the show. It'd be really cool. So we're $36 away. We can get there. I know we can, and can do it with your help. So we're working towards that and I think we'll be able to get there. But like I said, we need your help. And I want to thank my Patreon backers. One of my levels is I thank you by name on episodes. And if you choose to back at this level, it's something I do. So I want to thank Dave in the War Games at Battleshades Facebook group, Patrick, and Chris Parker of dayofbattlegames.com for their kind support. As I said, the show needs the funding, which is why I do Patreon, because listeners like you can support the show and sponsors can support the show too. So those are ways to kind of help keep things going. Don't forget about the episode guide, because that tells you what topics and guests and things are going to come up on future episodes. So for example, I can tell you, if you look at the episode guide, you'll know that the next episode comes out August 29, 2016, and that's when Henry Hyde comes on. If you look at it, you'll also find out some of the other things, like when the holiday gift guide episode is. You'll find out when the Extra Life 24-Hour Gamathon episode is, and things like that. So be sure to check that out. I update that throughout, and you'll be able to get that. And then don't forget, those show notes can be found at wargamingrecon.com/WR165, wargamingrecon.com/WR165 will bring you there. So now, point, we're done with the show. I'm going to have those messages for you, the congratulation messages, one from Neil Shook of Meeples and Miniatures, and one from Jay Libby of Dilly Green Bean Games. So you'll hear those, and there'll be that memoriam at the end for Andrew. And otherwise, that's everything we got. So I want to thank you all for listening. Make sure you hang around for those cool messages. Don't let them slip by you. And I appreciate all of the time that all of you have listened to this show over the years. 10 years is a long, long time. I can't believe I've been doing it this long. I know some of you have been listening that long. Some of you are new, but you're working your way back. And this is wonderful. So thank you very much, all of you, for being part of the Wargaming Recon family. And listening to the show and your words of encouragement and your feedback and just everything. It is truly wonderful. We're going to be here for as long as you're willing to listen and as long as you get enjoyment out of it. So there's no end in sight, folks. We did 10. We can do another 10. I'm still young. I'm in my mid-30s. I could do this for, what, another 30 years, maybe? Who knows? Anyway, it's Wargaming Recon. And next week we'll be back to non-introspective topics and things. Henry Hyde will be on. We'll talk about Gladius Publications. You know the drill. No matter how busy you are, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how many podcast episodes you need to listen to of the longest running tabletop wargaming podcast on the planet, you know you have to. You gotta keep on gaming. And don't forget, listen to those messages of congratulation and that memoriam.
Greetings, Jonathan. From the longest running wargaming podcast on one side of the Atlantic to the longest running wargaming podcast on the other. Hello, this is Neil Shook from the Meeples and Miniatures podcast. Jonathan, I just wanted to wish you huge congratulations on reaching your 10-year anniversary. I know when we were chatting about all this on, what, Twitter about 6 weeks ago, something like that. I think it's safe to say it came as a surprise, well, definitely to you, that you were actually the longest running wargaming podcast. Admittedly only by a week, and I'm still of the opinion that only producing two podcasts in 2007 could potentially be classed as cheating. But mate, I know probably more than most just how much determination, commitment, hard work, and let's face it, a certain amount of stubbornness goes into producing a podcast week in, week out over the course of 10 years. Congratulations on, you know, keeping it fresh, keeping things relevant, and providing new and interesting content for your listeners. As a fellow podcast host, yeah, I know how difficult that can be at times. And of course, with that and coping with a young family as well, huge kudos to you, mate. Really well done. And long may it continue. And you never know, we might even get our diaries sorted out and I can get back on the show at some point. So happy 10th birthday to Wargames Recon and all its previous incarnations. And I'm sure we look forward to hearing a lot more from you in the future. Cheers, mate.
So, someone said it's a 10-year anniversary of Wargaming Recon. What the hell is Wargaming Recon? I mean, do you, like, go down in the swamps and go recon? Maybe recon some turtles? Recon some frogs? No. It's a bunch of old dudes sitting around a table with British soldiers killing one another. Die. But that's okay. So, it's pretty cool. And I have to say, Jonathan, I'm impressed, man. You are a one-man podcast machine. I love it. You inspire me. You inspire everyone who watches your show. 10 years. My God. I mean, what? 10 years is a very, very long time. I mean, this makes me want to break out my G.I. Joe gun and go in. Woohoo! Yo, Joe! All right, Jonathan Reinhart. Happy anniversary for the 10 years of Wargaming Recon. This is Jay Libby from Dilly Green Bean Games saying... War! It's good!
Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the TSR Podcast Network. Visit wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN for more information and to learn about the other great shows on the network.
This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.
Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew, who helped give the show its name. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew.
Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 13th to the 15th, 2016 at the Doubletree Inn in Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming in New England at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.